beaten up or something like that. But no, actually what Bonhoeffer was pointing at when he said cheap grace was baptism without discipline of the church was, it was baptism without the difficult business of being part of the church body. And actually understanding that your life had to be found and formed in relationship to these other people. Believe you me, that's more than enough discipline for most people. Well, this always became a bit of a problem when it came to people requesting baptism, because it seemed the one thing they definitely didn't want was the discipline of the church. A friend of mine worked in a large parish in Hull, in eastern England, a very deprived area, and he said there was hardly anybody, it seemed, in his parish got married anymore. He said, however, they all wanted a big party. So whenever a baby came along, they all came along for baptism. And he said, they never did weddings, but their baptism services were full to the rafters because the entire community turned out and then went away again, you see. The early church understood this far better and understood that there was a certain preparation needed in order to be baptized. You didn't do it lightly. It wasn't something that happened lightly. Last thing that happened to you before you were baptized was you were exorcised of your demons. This isn't the kind of general, the sort of thing that we read about a lot in the New Testament, but rather you needed the spiritual cleansing of everything that had infected you before you received this new life of Jesus, you see. Anyway, you were baptized and you became members of the body. That's what happens when we become, when we're baptized. We become members of this body of Christ, members of the church, but not members as in members of the golf club. Okay, this isn't a membership thing in that sense. It's members in the true sense. You become a member. Perhaps somebody becomes a hand, or somebody becomes a foot. It's an anatomical sort of reference. We become part of that body. Now, here's a basic biological question for you. If a foot is not connected to the rest of the body, what will happen to it? It'll die. Yes? Why? Because there's no life flowing through it. The blood, I think I'm correct in that. Is that correct? Yes, thank you. I was just checking with the professor over there. You know, it will die because it needs the life-giving nutrients from the blood that is moving around the body. And actually, when it passes through the foot and the heel, the anatomical thing becomes a bit tricky, but having passed through the foot, it then passes on to other parts of the body. So the life moves from part to part of the body. Yeah? And for the leg to be properly healthy, it needs the foot there as well, and so on and so forth. And so St. Paul uses this image. But I think it's more than just, I always say to people, it's more than just a helpful idea. It's a reality. It comes from an understanding that a people could be known by a person. That one person could truly represent a people, embody them. And this is what is going on in the baptism of Jesus. And so what happens is, and we are probably as puzzled by John the Baptist. Well, why do you need to be baptized? Yeah, we take maybe that question of Jesus' sinlessness and think, he doesn't need to be washed clean of his sins. So what's going on? But Jesus says this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. That's always the little words that get away from us. But that all is so significant. Here we are, Jesus says, we're going to do the whole job. Now we're going to do the whole business. This act of baptism is going to fulfill everything. Now we might say, well, surely that's the cross and the resurrection. You might remember a few years ago, I went through a little period around about this time of year when I was playing with the idea of sacramental participation where things are woven together. And I spoke of the holly, that old hymn, the holly and the ivy, and the redness of the berry, and the redness of the blood of Christ. And so you would say, well, what's it referencing? Is it referencing the redness of the berry or redness of Christ, or redness of the blood of Christ? And I'd say, yes, helpfully. Because But the point is the two are woven together. We cannot see the red without understanding the blood. And it's not just a purely a mental trick that we're playing. It's to do with the very nature of existence itself. And so when we talk of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can talk about that simile in terms of his baptism. He goes down into the waters, and the waters are always to do with chaos and death in the Hebrew mindset. Yeah? Out of the depths I cry to you. There's Jonah in the belly of the whale in the depths. He's in the place of death. And so Jesus goes down into the place of death, that which holds us, and then comes up out of the water. But how do we know that this is the fulfillment of all righteousness? Because at that point, the Spirit descends upon him. And the voice says, here is my beloved Son. Here is the representative human. Here is the one in whom all their lives are held together. Now, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, I just noticed this the other day, at the beginning of his gospel, there's this slight, it's not an aside, but listen to the language he uses when he talks about he's been set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel concerning his Son. And he said, who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Yeah? And so if you have this image of him coming up out of the water, yeah, coming up out of the water is a resurrection picture. And then he is declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit. And so we have this declaration. He is the Son of God and the Spirit is descending. You see? That's a wonderful, wonderful parallel. Now, Paul then uses that in terms of us. Later in his gospel, he will say this. He says, do you not know that as many of you were baptized into his death? You were made part of him. And so this baptism of Jesus is our baptism. It's not a question of Jesus was baptized, oh, therefore we ought to be. It's rather Jesus is baptized and any baptism, therefore, is part of the baptism of Jesus, the one representative baptism. And this is why the Orthodox Church, for example, at that moment before they baptize in the consecration of the water, say, may these waters be to us the waters of the Jordan. Because any baptism is a participation in the baptism of Jesus. And in his baptism, he takes our human condition from the place of death to the place of life. In other words, we have this change. Jesus has come not to make bad people good, but to make the dead live. And notice again what St. Paul will say, for example, as he writes to the Colossians in chapter 3. So, are you all right there, Kieran?
Yeah.
He says this. Note the language. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You see? And we go, hang on a minute. Is he having a heavenly conversation here? Well, the answer is, in a sense, yes. He's having a conversation with the citizens of heaven. Since, therefore, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In your baptism, it's a shame Edith isn't here, because Edith always used to get this. You know, Edith's very, very sharp theologically, I think. I said, you know, the great thing about Christians and death is this, is you get your dying over and done with. You know, well, she's right. Yeah? We are dead to sin and alive to God. And therefore a new creation has come into being, which is probably, I think, you know, that's why this Christian message, this journey, this baptism, we find it so hard to get, because it is about a new life, a new form of existence, manifested in Jesus himself. In Jesus as he walks around in Palestine following his baptism, manifesting this life that is full of the Spirit. Yeah? And then he dies upon the cross, he is raised, and we don't see him, and then the Spirit comes down on his body, the church. Do you see? It's the same story. It's the same story. This baptism of Jesus reveals to us our own baptism, because if we are baptized, we are baptized into him. We go down into the waters with him. And how I wish that we had bigger fonts for babies. You know, I think that might have, you know, those kind of people said, oh, we just want a party. I'll say, it will involve me taking your child and drowning them three times in the font. I wonder how many it might have just put off. You know, because, but that's precisely it. You know, so the Orthodox, they take hold of the child, usually naked, actually. And well, that would definitely stop people. And put them right into the water three times and then wrap them in white robe. Why? Because they pass from death to life. Yeah. So then we have to make that onward journey. And then, in a sense, that's part of the rest of the teaching of the church, is how do we then make that journey to begin to live as those who have passed from death to the fullness of life in and through Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.